Hi, I'm Ewan Blakey, Senior Pastor of Oasis Church. I hope this message gives you hope and helps you take your next step on your Christian journey. We'd love to invite you to come and see us in person at 10 a.m. on Sundays or join us live every Sunday on YouTube. For more info, visit our website, oasischurchperth.com.
God will move. God will always meet you at your point of faith. And I want to talk a little bit more about that expectation as we lean into this Holy Spirit series this month. So today we're kicking off this Holy Spirit series. It's going to run for the month of October. And I want to talk to you about Pentecost, where it all began, the origin story of the church. It's like, you know, Batman, beginning of Batman, and you want to know the backstory, and you find out why Bruce Wayne is a really grumpy and angry guy. Well, you watch the movie and you find out the beginnings of it all. Well, this is going to be the beginnings of the church. How did the church come about? So we're going to read to you a little bit out of the book of Acts today. And we're going to start at Acts chapter 1. It says this, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and he gave men, this is talking about Jesus, he gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them, these disciples, over a period of 40 days, and he spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave him this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. Everybody say wait. Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized. Everyone say baptized. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? But he had other plans. He said to them, no, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power. Everyone say power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. I mean, that must have been just a devastating and incredible encounter for the disciples, all wrapped into one. They were like, oh my goodness, he's disappearing into the clouds. And as the reality dawned on them, oh my goodness, he's leaving us for good. But God had something in store for them. So let's read about what actually happened as they waited in that upper room in Jerusalem. And we're going to read from Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together. Some translations say they were in one accord. I didn't realize that they had cars in those days, but apparently they did, and they were all gathered in one accord. That's a dad joke right there. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them, say all of them, not some of them, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I remember very clearly the moment that same experience happened to me. I was about 16 years old at our parents' church, and there was a minister there who was preaching about the Holy Spirit. And at the end of the service, we had a ministry time, and people came and prayed for me. And I remember this little old lady laying her hands on me and praying for me. And before that, I went to church. I did what I was told. My parents brought me along to church and I believed in God. And it was all true for me. But that moment, everything changed. And I just remember just feeling this. It's so hard for me to put it into words, but I felt so different. It felt so unusual. Certainly not in a bad way, but it was weird. And I felt something just bubbling up on the inside of me, and I began to pray in what I found out later was tongues, but it didn't sound like much except for me saying like a baby talking. That's literally what it was. I was learning a new language and I was learning it from the ground up. And I started with but I couldn't stop. And I was praying like that, and I was speaking like that, and it felt like it was for hours, but I didn't want it to stop. I just wanted to be in that place. It was such an extraordinary experience for me. And I just remember walking out of church into the car park going, oh, this is real. This is this faith thing, this Jesus thing, this God thing is real. This believing in Jesus Christ, this changes everything for me. And I just remember how that just changed my life, the whole way that I led my life. And I had this belief then all of a sudden, man, I just want to do whatever God wants me to do. I'm going to do that. And I remember picking up the guitar and learning worship songs, and for the first time wanting to just sing praise and worship songs all the time. It just consumed everything for me. And it changed. And I tell you what, there's not a day that goes by now that I don't draw on that same well. And I practice and I pray those prayers, pray in tongues. I've learned a few more words since those days. But I pray those prayers and I can just draw on the presence of the Holy Spirit at any moment. And that is an experience that is for everybody to experience. So let's break it down a little bit. I want us to do a little bit of teaching before we get into the meat of the rest of the sermon today. But let's look at this word baptism. Baptism in the Holy Ghost. What does baptism mean? It comes from a Greek word, baptizo, which means immersion. Immersion. So let's read about it a little bit in Matthew chapter 3. This is John the Baptist talking. He was the one who started baptizing people. He said this, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He said this, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And fire. And then, as we read before in Acts chapter 1, Jesus echoed the same words. He said, John baptized you with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So this word baptizo, baptism, it means to be immersed in something, to be immersed. When we're baptized with water, we come out, we're soaking wet, we're dripping. I remember one time early on when we were baptizing this really tall kid in a spa bath, and we couldn't quite get his head under, and his mum came up and pushed his head under to make sure. He had to be completely drenched. They used to use the word a lot when they were talking about dyeing garments. So they would get the garment and they would dunk it under the water that had all the dye in it. It was really important that they got all of the garment under the water so it was absolutely saturated with that dye. So when it came out, it was a different color. There was no point in pulling it out half dunked because you'd have some weird pattern all over it. So you wanted to get all of that dye into the fibers of that garment. And that's what baptism is all about. It's getting immersed, getting completely drenched in it. So the disciples were baptized with fire, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. So let's have a look at this other word called Pentecost, which is that day, that moment when the Holy Spirit descended. What does Pentecost mean? It's another Greek word, and it just means 50, the number 50. Pentecost is 50. So let's look back at the Jewish significance of these moments. Passover happened, and if you guys remember Passover, it was something that happened to Moses when the Israelites were still in Egypt. They were in slavery, and there were a bunch of plagues that were being visited on the Egyptians because Pharaoh was refusing to let the people of God go. And finally, there was the 10th plague, which was a plague on all the firstborn sons of everybody. So the angel of death was going to fly over, and everybody who was the firstborn would die, even animals. So God says to Moses, what you need to do is you need to sacrifice an unblemished lamb. And I want you to daub the doorposts of each dwelling with the blood of this lamb. The blood would be over the doorposts. And in that way, when you do that, every firstborn in your household is going to be safe because they'll be under the blood. That's where we get that term from. They'll be under the blood. They'll be under the blood. And so it happened that all of the firstborn in Egypt died, even the animals. And finally, the Israelites were released to go, and they were even chased out of Egypt. Now, fast forward 50 days. 50 days later, we've crossed the Red Sea. Moses has led the people through the Red Sea. They found themselves at Mount Sinai. And God's glory descends on the mountain. God's glory is on Mount Sinai with clouds, with lightning bolts, with peals of thunder, with trumpet blasts. It's noisy, it's scary, and everyone's tremoring. They're scared for their lives. And God invites Moses up onto the mountain as he delivers to him the law. And the word of God is given to Moses. The law is given on a tablet. Not a tablet like this tablet here, but a stone tablet. And those Ten Commandments are given to the Israelites via that method. Now, isn't that crazy that that very day, 50 days after Passover, so let's fast forward now to the crucifixion. Jesus Christ is crucified on that very day of Passover. He fulfills that same Passover celebration where it was a lamb that was sacrificed, and traditionally in Israel, a lamb would be sacrificed on that day to symbolize how they were freed from the angel of death and they were liberated from Egypt. Interestingly enough, there was no lamb that was sacrificed that day because the high priest had invalidated his ability to perform that function because he'd torn his robes in frustration about the things that Jesus was saying. So here we find on that Passover day, Jesus is the Passover lamb. He fulfills that for us. Now let's go 50 days after that, when it was going to be another Jewish celebration called Shavuot, which is called the Feast of Weeks. And here we have, traditionally, it was to symbolize God's glory descending on Mount Sinai. Now we have God's glory descending in an upper room with a bunch of misfits and disciples of Jesus Christ all gathered together as the glory of God descends with loud noises, with fire, with a cloud. God's glory is coming into that place to fulfill, again, another Jewish feast, the Feast of Weeks. Now, Pentecost is a fulfillment. The Holy Spirit written on people's hearts instead of being written on an external source. No longer did they have to go to the law to find out what to do. They had the law written on the inside of them to equip them to do all the things that God had called them to do. Okay, let me find my notes here because I've chased ahead a little bit. Okay, so let's have a look at a few things that the Holy Spirit can do and what God wants for us through this experience. First point is this. The Holy Spirit in us is better than Jesus standing next to us. Have you ever thought this thought? I wonder, wouldn't it be just awesome if Jesus showed up right now and did his thing? Wouldn't it be great if Jesus was in the room? He'd know what to say. He'd have the quick comeback. He'd be the one who could lay hands and do a miracle for us. It'd be so great to hear Jesus' wisdom spoken to us to give us what we need to do. What's the next step? I've got no idea. What if Jesus was here? We have such a value and an idea that Jesus next to us is going to be better than the Holy Spirit within us. But it is not the case. It is not the case. John 16, verse 7. Jesus says this, "Nevertheless, I tell you, it is to your advantage, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you." It's better for you. He's saying it's better for you that I go. It is to your advantage that I go, because he wants us to have this gift. And that's my next point. God wants us. He wants you to have this gift of the Holy Spirit. He actively wants you to have it. This is what he said in Luke chapter 11. "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much favor do you have for your kids? I would say a lot, right? You know, I get a phone call from work and it's outside my normal work hours. I'm like, meh, I'm not going to bother answering that one. I'll answer them on Monday. But if one of my kids rings me at 9 p.m. one night, one of my teenagers who's out, I'll be looking, oh, they're calling straight away. What can I do for you? How can I help? That's exactly what, if we're like that and we are evil, Jesus said, how much more the Father in heaven wants to give to you what you ask for because you have that kind of favor, especially when you're asking for the very thing he wants you to ask for. Here's my next point. This gift is for everyone. It's for everyone. It is for everyone. It's not just for a select few people. It is for everyone. 1,000 years before this, the prophet Joel, who's being quoted by Peter in Peter's first sermon, Acts chapter 1, verse 17, he says this, in the last days, that's the days after Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, I will pour out my spirit on some people. Does it say that? What does it say? It says what? It says all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Everybody gets to receive this gift of the Holy Spirit. So this is what I'd like for us to do. In a few minutes' time, I've deliberately made it a fairly short sermon today because I want us to pray for you. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit for the first time, I'm going to invite you up. If you want a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit because you're feeling a little bit dry right now, I want you to come forward and receive prayer. And we're going to do that in a second. But before we do that, I want to give you a little acronym of this word, ready. How do we prepare ourselves to receive from the Holy Spirit? Because God wants to bless us, but he won't give us the Holy Spirit if we don't ask. He won't give us these things unless we actually want it. So let's go through this word ready. The first one, R, is for repent. What does repent mean? Doesn't mean that you whip yourself on the back. Doesn't mean you do penance. It means that you're going to change your mind. It means that you're going to live a different way. You're going to change the way that you live and make that decision, and then you keep basically a change of direction. I'm not going to live this way anymore. I'm going to start living this way. That's what repent means. And that is really important for us when we're going to receive from the Holy Spirit. We don't just do it casually. We do it realizing we need to change the way that we live our lives. E is for expect. We need to have an expectancy in our heart for something to happen. Just like miracle offering last week, there was an expectancy amongst people. We encouraged you to have an expectation in your heart that God was going to move on your behalf, and he did. If there's no expectation, then how are you going to know that God's actually moved in your life? Here's a great example. There was a man who was paralyzed, and Jesus came up to him and he said this, do you want to get well? That's a really unusual question to ask, but he wanted to tease that out of him to find out if he actually wanted it. Does he even want to get well? And that's the question you have to ask yourself. Do you even want this? A is for ask. Jesus said before, and I just quoted this, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? We have to ask. We have to actively want something and then ask for it. Just like he said before, ask, seek, knock, and the door will be open to you. You have to ask. When you ask, things happen. D is for drink. We're going to drink in the Holy Spirit. We're going to allow him, draw it into us, just like Jesus and the woman at the well. He said to her, if you knew who I was standing here, you would ask me for a drink, and you will be able to drink from rivers of living water. So we need to drink it in, receive it. And finally, why, as I ask the musicians to come forward, why is for yield? Why is for yield? We need to humble ourselves, yield ourselves to the movement of the Holy Spirit. And as we do that, as we yield ourselves to Him, we allow Him to move in our life, because we can resist Him in our minds, in our emotion. We can mentally put up a wall to say, I'm not ready for that, I don't want that. And when we do that, then the Holy Spirit is hindered in working in our lives. But when we yield to Him, we allow Him to do that work in our lives. So I hope that you've begun to understand what God wants for every single person, every single believer, that this baptism of the Holy Spirit is not an optional extra for us. It is something to equip us for every step, every breath that we take on this earth, equipped with the power of the Holy Spirit to do everything that He's called us to do on this earth. Without it, we're really, it's like punching underwater. It's like fighting with one arm tied behind our back. It makes it really hard. But when you have that power of the Holy Spirit coursing through you, it will change everything. So in a second, I'm going to ask anyone who wants prayer. In fact, the prayers can come forward now as well. But if you want to receive this gift of the Holy Spirit, I want to invite you to come forward and we're going to pray together. We're going to pray. We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit to baptize you, to drench you, to fill you. We're going to pray for that gift of the Holy Spirit, speaking in another language, speaking in tongues. We're going to allow that gift to begin to work in your life. And I can guarantee you'll experience something that you've never experienced before. And for those of you who have experienced that touch of the Holy Spirit before and you want a fresh touch, I'm going to encourage you to come forward now as well. And we're going to pray for you too.